Today, involuntary layoffs take effect up at the Stellantis plants at Sterling Heights and elsewhere as they simply got too many cars and trucks with inventories bloated. They've had to make some adjustments. Unclear whether or not those layoffs may become permanent. Meantime, Stellantis is in a battle with suppliers. It's just one of the many stories that you'll find in the pages of Crain's Detroit Business today. And we welcome in Mike Lee, the managing editor of Crain's. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Guy. How are you?
Good. We can get to the drama at Stellantis, but we know that the bombshell last week was that GM is going to be moving its operations to at least two floors of the Hudson Detroit building, which begs the question, what happens to the Rensen? You've been looking at other buildings of similar configuration that were built and designed by the same architect for clues on what might be able to be done with them. I know they've got a twin sister in Los Angeles that I have actually stayed in.
Oh, yes. It's amazing how similar it is, and as well as the Peachtree Center in Atlanta. The architect, his name was John Portman, designed a number of these complexes back in the 1970s when the Rensen was built. They were designed to be a city within a city. Some people would call them a fortress. That people didn't have to leave. They were filled with offices, retail. You know, obviously the Rensen had a movie theater, restaurants, so that people wouldn't have to go out on the street. The complexes in other cities have some advantages that the Rensen never had. The Rensen is largely cut off from the rest of downtown Detroit by the very wide Jefferson Avenue, landlocked on the other side by the river, and not much on either east-west side of it. So it doesn't offer the connectivity to the downtowns that some of these places, the other John Portman designs, do. So it's more of a challenge for Dan Gilbert and GM as they try to see what to do with this complex. They really haven't taken anything off the table. All signs are this deal actually, despite being talked about for a long time, really came together kind of quickly, which is why we're entering this study period on what to do with the Rensen. So,
except you know, he told Mike Duggan he was going to make that pitch 6 years ago to General Motors. Yeah. I mean, this has been in Gilbert's sights for a long time.
Yeah, they've been talking about it for a while, but I think this particular deal, you know, the seeds were planted, but it came together and pretty quickly.
Really interesting article in the pages of Crain's about how the mindset of the architect when he built it and what was going on in the city, and maybe there were some budget cuts. I highly recommend the article moving forward because I'm interested in what the heck happens with the Rensen. I'm also very interested in this new lab. I didn't quite know what it was, what's going on there, but it seems to be bustling.
Yeah, this is the 1 year anniversary of New Lab, which is the sort of startup incubator that Ford and Michigan Central have built in the former school book depository in Corktown near the Michigan Central station, which of course is getting ready to open in June. This startup center it opened April 25th of last year. They had 25 very small startups, 150 people. After a year, they now have 92 startups there, 540 members, and they're still only about a third of the way full. It's a fascinating space, hosts events every weekend. Black Tech Saturdays aims to connect Black entrepreneurs, and they're drawing hundreds of people to those events. It's really, really kind of a special thing that's brewing up there, and it, you know, kind of brings technology into Detroit. You know, our tech hub here in Southeast Michigan has for so long been Ann Arbor, and this provides a space and capital, a way to connect these entrepreneurs to money. And there have been some successes. There's one outfit, one of the first startups there is a electric RV company called Grounded. Lured an entrepreneur from Atlanta to Detroit specifically for the resources that were available at New Lab. It's already outgrown its space in the actual incubator building, and they rented a warehouse four blocks away where they're building and assembling these prototype electric RVs. It's really a grassroots sort of operation that you know could create an ecosystem for entrepreneurs in Detroit.
Mike, we're about 3 days away from the NFL draft, and if you have an event space or you have executive transportation, you'll be doing pretty good this week, won't you?
It's big business for all kinds of businesses in Detroit, I'll tell you. The event spaces obviously are sold out. Dan Gilbert's own event spaces in downtown Detroit, of which they run several. They've got 20 events on the docket for the week. The Fox Theater, owned by the Ilitches, is hosting the red carpet reception on, I think it's Wednesday night. The Little Caesars is going to host some NFL play, some Detroit Lions, Frank Ragnow, Sam Laporta at the Fan Experience. We talked to some small business owners, one of whom rents tables and chairs, and she says it's going to be a life-changing week for her business. It's just a huge amount of opportunity that. And it does seem like the NFL and event organizers have made a special effort to steer those dollars to local business people, which is a big deal.
Regarding Stellantis, as I said, we've got these involuntary layoffs that are taking place there today, but they're also in a real showdown with some of their suppliers.
This is mostly over pricing. Stellantis has made some moves to hold the line on prices, even as, you know, as we all know, inflation has raised the cost of everything, and that's caused some suppliers to really push back hard. And these fights over pricing are spilling into court, and temporarily shut down the Toledo plant, the Toledo Jeep plant. At one point, Stellantis said in its court filings because the suppliers were refusing to ship the parts unless they got a price increase. One of the cases, Stellantis lads gotten pretty nasty. That one of the cases, they agreed to make a $100,000 payment to one supplier to get the parts flowing, but their lawyers literally said it was made under a hostage threat. It's not a real kumbaya situation between Stellantis and its suppliers right now.
And in the say it isn't so department, Red Lobster. I mean, that combo platter, it has my name on it.
The rolls.
Yes.
That they're looking at Chapter 11, it hopefully a restructuring, but and then we'll return? Or how dire is this for them? We've only got a few seconds.
I think they'll restructure. I don't think they're going to go away, but they need to learn their lesson on this endless shrimp all you can eat.
Are you blaming me?
Yeah.
Hey, $22.99, man. This actually happened to Red Lobster before. In 2003, they almost wound up in bankruptcy over an endless crab deal.
Okay.
Which was a really crazy one because there were quotas at the time on how much snow crab you could fish. And so the fishermen were hitting the quotas. The price spiked, and it almost put the company out of business.
I didn't realize that was your snout and my trough, Mike. Barely you and I have the same affections. Thanks so much. Have a great week at Cranes. Enjoy draft week.
You too. Thank you.
And this Cranes Detroit interview brought to you by Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org.